Hey friends, let me jump in here real quick to remind you of our sponsor, 25 Transportation and Solutions. That's 25 Transportation and Solutions. They give you quality transportation, delivery services that you can depend on, getting your freight to and from its destination safe and secure. Contact them at info@25.org. That's info@TWENTY5.org, or you can call them at 240-479-6376. See you out on the road. Now, let's get back to our episode of the Truth and Coffee Time podcast. Back to let you know that I really can't let you go. I'm too close to you. And don't want no one else but you, so stay by my side, like I stay on your mind.
What time is it, Mink?
It's Truth and Coffee Time.
Hey friends, welcome to the Truth and Coffee Time podcast with Diverse Love. I am Denise.
And I'm Brian.
Get your coffee or whatever your cup of joy is and settle in for some bold conversations, some random topics, a few cuss words, and a whole lot of us. Brian,
let's go.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you everyone for joining us on the Truth and Coffee Time podcast. Of course, I am Miss D. Mr. B is out doing Mr. B-ish. You know, when it's interview time, he leaves that up to me, but I'm good with that because he takes care of everything else. So glad that you guys are rocking with us tonight. Like any other night, we have another amazing and absolutely gorgeous guest that is coming to talk with us about a little bit of everything that she's doing, talk to us about her brand. We are so excited for Miss Cerinthia, and I believe her handle is at a black coffee tail, if I'm correct. So Cerinthia McLennan is with us tonight, and she is an author. She is a competitive barista. She started really loving coffee from her trip in Guatemala, which we're going to talk about on the podcast. She is loving coffee. She's been doing it for about 8 years now in the competition sector of specialty coffee. She has competed nationally on the Specialty Coffee Association's Coffee and Good Spirits, and she's competed in the Coffee and Good Spirits competition in 2019. She has also wrote a book, and the book is called Dirty Barista, in which she patterns her cocktails through hip hop culture, rap culture, and Janelle Monae. We are so excited to have her on here. Her favorite spirits, of course, is rum, and her favorite genre of music is rap, hip hop, R&B, and Michael Jackson, because he is genre all genre to himself. Okay. Love it. So yay. Thank you so much, Cerinthia, for joining us. We're so excited for you to be here. Thank you. Anything I left out?
I actually need to update my bio because it's been almost 11 years since I've been in coffee.
I love it.
I'm like, I really did write that like 2 years ago. That means I started everything like 2 years ago. So that's cool. Time is really fine.
Yeah, I know. I remember talking with you through our little DM chats, and I'm like, how did you even start this? And you said, I actually stumbled onto it by accident. But, you know, I want to say, I want to ask you about your time in Guatemala, but I want to say first, I always start our guests off to say, tell our listeners, and I'm sure that your friends, family, community will be listening to this when it comes out. Tell us all something that we don't know about you.
Oh, I really tried to think so hard about this because I'm like, I'm so open. I tell everybody everything. No,
me too, girl. I have too much.
I know. I'm like, how much do I leave out? Well, this is a new thing that I did reveal about myself. And okay, it's not even like it was a secret, but I bake a lot, like a lot. And it's just so fun for me. I started just now, like, posting a little bit of, like, oh, I bake some cinnamon rolls, I bake some muffins, but I just really love it. I really love it.
I like bacon. I love it. I don't do it as much as I used to because I've been working so much, but I do love it. Now, let me ask you something. You are baking a lot. Do you ever pair, especially on your post, do you ever pair any of your baked items with either a specialty coffee or a cocktail?
I haven't yet, but I really should. But I have not yet. But what I end up doing is I'll try to make a cocktail that tastes like something that I baked, and then I'll get lost in that and not even think about putting the two together.
I think you should. I think you should. I remember we interviewed one of our wine educators, Miss Sarita, and she was telling us how to pair wine with sweets, with sweet items or with baked items. And it's really always a little touchy for me. I'm not a huge drinker at all. I used to drink way back in the day, but like right in my latter years of life, I probably have 4 or 5 drinks a year, if anything. But what I can't do is I can't drink and eat sweets. I can't do that. And some people can do it and be fine, but me, my stomach just can't handle it. So it would be interesting to, once you really get your palate right with it, to figure out what cocktail you can pair with your baked items. I'm going to be looking for that.
Okay. I'm going to work on it just for you. Because I'm starting to get to the point where I can like have a savory meal with a cup of coffee. And that's very weird to me. I'm like, that's weird. I feel like the same way about baking and drinking. It's like, that's kind of a weird combination, but I mean, it can go.
I can have coffee with anything. I can have coffee with savory, sweet, sour, tart, coffee with anything. All right. So tell us, take us back and give us, what is your favorite childhood memory?
My favorite childhood memory. I have a very interesting family in that we're just like really close. I thought most families were close like this because you see them on TV, everybody feels really close. But I'm starting to realize in my adulthood, people are not like that connected with their families. But some of my favorite childhood memories,
It's really a shame though when you think about it. You try to find that that connection that you see on the screen. And I think what happens when you're looking at that on the screen, Sarintha, to be very honest with it, is there's no time continuous when you're looking at movies and pictures. So you don't see the stuff that happened in between families before they get to that united or to that root cause of why they're so close or united. You don't get to see that part, the dysfunctionality part, you know, where in real life you may absolutely be close like that with your family, but there's always that stuff in between too, you know, those rifts. So that's what I think what happens with that. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're very right. I just didn't realize that because I'm very close to my family. But there's a point where we had like black mold in our apartment. So we had to move in with my aunt who already had 5 children.
Yeah.
But me, my mom and my sister needed to move in and stay with them. Also, my cousin had moved in with her baby and the father of her child. And then my cousin had different girls. And at one point there was 13 of us in one house.
Wow.
And I think it was a 1, 2, 3. It was a 3-bedroom house. We kind of converted the garage into another room. It was 13 of us in there. And it was a wild time, but it was some of the funnest times that we had. Yeah. Riding up and down the hills on our bikes, running around the neighborhood in the summer, bothering people in the neighborhood, just being mischievous, like little kids just running around, just little bad kids. It was fun listening to music really loud, making up dances, making forts. I mean, I was like, I'm living with my cousins. It's like an all-time party. It was really fun, even though it was really tough. But I think that's what you were talking about earlier. Like, you don't see moments in the middle where things are happening that like create that bond. And I mean, to this day, we're all still pretty close. We argue and then we're like, fine, then in the next couple of days.
My aunt was like that. My aunt had, I believe she had 11 kids. And I was an only child for 13 years before my brother came.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so my grandmother raised me, and she would send me to my aunt, which is her sister, like for weeks in the summer to stay at her house. And so I would be out there with all my cousins, and it would be like 10 or 11 of them because my aunt had like 11 kids. And so I would be able to like go swimming, bike riding, like all these different adventures as a kid, as opposed to when I would come home, I didn't have that because I was the only child. So I didn't have that connection. So you don't see that there's a struggle there, because my aunt was a single parent for a lot of her life and worked as a nurse on her feet, you know, 12, 14, 18 hours a day taking care of her kids. And you don't see and understand and appreciate that struggle as a child. You just know that you had fun with your cousins, you know. Yeah. So I think that those memories are they're priceless. I really do. They're priceless. So
they are.
Kudos to your aunt for allowing everyone to come, because she essentially was y'all village, you know.
You know, and she likes being that person. She's like, now she gathers all of our kids up and takes them to do stuff and like has them over. She just likes that. She likes to be.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. All right. Okay. So I want you to talk to us, Miss Arinthia, about your inspirational journey to Guatemala. Because a part of your bio says that you really started your love for coffee on your trip to Guatemala. So what inspired you there? What sparked that love for coffee there? What was so special about that journey?
Oh, I haven't talked about this in so long, but because it's just been so long. Mm-hmm. And not a lot of people, like now that people meet me now, they don't know that part of me because I haven't been working in a coffee shop.
Yeah.
Like a little bit. I worked at one earlier this year, but for the past few years, I haven't been. So people that are just now getting to know me don't really know that part of me. But when I was in high school, I was in 11th grade, I was involved with this local like ministry here. And they're like, we're going to go to Guatemala. We're going to go stay at this coffee farm. The coffee farm proceeds go to fund this orphanage, you know, all of this and that. And that was cool. We go there. We're in a village in Guatemala trying to, you know, do like help build the church and help in the village and things like that. But there was a day that we got to go to the coffee farm, and we were like on the coffee farm, mm-hmm. but we're at the top. We had to like kind of travel to get to where the coffee actually grew.
Mm-hmm.
And so we spent like a half of a day doing that, going down there, seeing like the whole process and all that. But as we were walking there, it was like on a very dangerous side hill. And you can see the whole like coffee farm as you're going down. Because we're pretty high up in elevation, but we kind of go down into this like small valley, still very high in elevation, but the valley for where we were. And it was beautiful. It was just beautiful. It took my breath away.
Wow.
The coffee plant leaves are really shiny. And so it was like, it was shiny. There were birds. It was quiet because I feel like we kind of all were like, this is kind of pretty. So it was like quiet. So you can hear the nature. I'm like, it just really captivated me. And then we start seeing the process of how the coffee is like grown, harvested, washed, dried, and all that. Right. And they had to like hike it back up the hill to dry. Mm-hmm. And it was like the smallest little man. A lot of people in Guatemala are small.
Right.
And so it was the smallest little man. And he's like carrying hundreds of pounds of coffee up and down this hill all day. And I'm just like, okay, get it. And he's just doing the thing, you know? But it was also there that I saw for the first time how valuable coffee was. Coffee wasn't really a part of my life before that. My grandma drank coffee. My mom did not. So the only time I ever really was around coffee was like when I'm with my grandma, And up until the point that I worked at a coffee shop, the most coffee I consumed was like powdered cappuccino.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was what my grandma was giving me. I'm like, I'm drinking coffee. And so I'm like, that's really what I liked at the time as far as coffee was concerned. I'm like, just, you know, sugar, cream, whatever. But I realized there how important it was, because when we pulled up to the farm, like to the village that the farm was in, it was guarded by like armed men with guns, like guns, multiple guns, machine guns, like guns. And I'm like, I didn't expect that. And that was also scary because the guy that was leading us, he is in coffee, and I've seen him now like out in the coffee world. It's been really fun. But anyway, right. He's also coffee, and his Spanish was rusty. I said, I don't need your Spanish to be rusty right now.
You need to be fluent right now.
I need you to be as fluent as you've ever been. I need it to flow from you. But we got in and we were fine. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, I've just never seen big guns in person before. But I'm like, they're really guarding this. I'm like, yeah, because people will steal it. Because it's just that valuable.
Wow.
And I'm like, I didn't know that. And I'm like, I want to learn more about this. I want to work in a coffee shop. And so the next year, I was a senior in high school, but I was pregnant. Mm-hmm. And so I wasn't even sure if I was going to be able to go to Guatemala again. I wasn't sure what my life was going to look like. And I had already said, I'm going to work in a coffee shop. I'm like, I don't even know what that's going to look like.
Right.
So I'm just kind of like throwing dreams away. I'm like, whatever. I'm not going to work in a coffee shop. I'm just going to get the first job I can get. I'm just going to do what I can. So I'm like applying to all these jobs and none of them are working out. I try to get a job at Sonic. I don't know if there's a Sonic where you are. Right up the street, actually. Huh?
I said, we have one right up the street, actually.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, well, at least I'll get free drinks. So I'm like, I'm trying to work at Sonic. I'm in the city that I grew up in and I got lost on the way to Sonic. I'm like, wait, where am I? I'm like, why am I so confused right now? So yeah. I did not get the job at Sonic because I missed the interview, but then I got hired at a coffee shop anyway. I was just really concerned that I wouldn't get hired because at the time that I was looking, it was like around graduation. And so I was like 8 months pregnant.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know if anybody's going to hire me. Like I'm an instant, like I'm in for like maybe a month.
Right.
So I just don't know. But they hired me anyway. And my water broke at that coffee shop. And my son was running around that coffee shop for about 3 years. I was pregnant. And while I was pregnant with my second child, I was managing that coffee shop. And it just, that really, working there pushed me into this world. And that started in 2012.
And they welcomed you and your kids, your circumstance, whatever it is that you brought, they welcomed you and welcomed your family. And that makes a difference in any world, regardless.
It does. Where you work,
makes a difference. So I love that. Yeah. All right. So now, here we are. You're loving coffee and you're working in your coffee shop. And then the book, Dirty Barista, comes along. Here's the book right here, guys.
Make sure. Yeah, that one comes along. So it comes late down the line.
So this book comes along. This is my copy. Like I told you, I love this book. I think I'm going to order a couple more to give out for Christmas gifts. And it comes out and it's like, what was the concept of you taking this book and blending the hip hop culture with, you know, your love of coffee and cocktails, and how did you continue to influence through this book? Because you ended up also going from this book to a competitive barista. But the first thing I want to know is, what was the inspiration for you to blend the hip hop with cocktails and do a book about it? Because this book is really, is small, is powerful cocktails. You explain it in hip hop culture language. It's a pretty good book. I really like it. So talk to me about it.
I appreciate that. But it's actually reversed. I was in competition first and that compelled me to write the book. Mm-hmm. The book became a culmination of just everything that had happened to me over a course of like 5 years. So there was a lot, I had a lot of change going on. I graduated college, I had two kids, I got married. And once I left college, I thought, you know, I need to get a real job. I can't work in coffee anymore. So I get a real job, still end up working in coffee. And then I leave my real job to work full time in coffee. So I was right back. Mm-hmm. And when I came back into coffee, I got introduced to coffee competition. Now, I had knew about it before.
Right.
And someone had mentioned me doing it, but I just didn't understand it yet enough to figure out if I could do it or not.
Right.
So I went to one first, and they had coffee and good spirits. It was their first year ever doing it, which is a coffee cocktail based competition.
Right.
And I'm like, can I do it? I'm like, my relationship with alcohol is, you know, because it's just, you know, overly used in my family.
Yeah.
And so I'm just, I don't really have that big of a desire to drink, but I also feel like I could take the power back from what drinking has taken away from me and like create it into something that I enjoy more, make it more beautiful for myself, you know, making it really philosophical. So I was just drawn to it for whatever reason. End up just really practicing, learned a lot about cocktails. I got involved in this group called Glitter Cat, which was helping minorities be able to compete because competition is expensive.
Yeah.
Thousands of dollars.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you need the time to train and the space to train. And I mean, I'm getting up at 4 a.m. and work and practicing until I have to be at work at 8. And then I work from 8 to 4 and then I practice some more. I'm practicing. And I end up doing very well in the competition. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is really cool. But then COVID hits. And when COVID hits, it kind of ends my run.
Yeah.
I was loving it. Loving it. I'm like, this is such a great mix. Coffee and cocktails make sense.
Yeah.
Like coffee and spirits kind of have like that rocky start sometimes because people are like, it's too bitter. It's too harsh. And you can.
One of my favorite cocktails, though, is an espresso martini.
So good. And I make a fire espresso martini. I hope to make one for you in person one day. I think mine is the best.
Yes.
Like it should be, though. I feel very obligated for it to be good. But I'm like, I can make beautiful drinks out of these things. And it's just really fun. It just made sense, like the way that things work.
Yeah.
And but when COVID hit, a lot of things in my personal life started to bubble up.
Yeah.
And we're all at home together. Things are just
not Yeah. Little tense.
A little tense.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to be quite honest, my marriage wasn't really doing it for me.
Yeah.
For a mix of reasons. Mm-hmm. But like at the time that I was doing the worst personally, like in my marriage and stuff, was when I was having the absolute best time of my life in coffee. It's the only consistency I've had like in my entire adult life outside of my kids.
Right.
And they grew up in it. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like when I'm having the worst time, like I'm enjoying my life so much in coffee. During COVID though, that kind of as time went on, I'm like, I'm enjoying coffee less and less and less because I was working a job that wasn't really hands-on coffee.
Right.
It was customer service and that was tough. But anyway, my marriage is not going the best and I'm trying to escape with my friends. And so I go to my friend Sarah's house. She and I get really close. She and I worked at the first coffee shop that I had ever worked at together. And we weren't really friends then, but as the years went on, we just started to kind of gradually get closer and closer. And so I just let her know what was going on. She's like, you can always come over and hang out. And so I did. And I was over one day and she said, have you ever heard of Dirty Computer? And I said, I know like a couple of songs off of it. I only know like a few Janelle Monáe songs. And she's like, I think you'll really like it. I think you'll really like to watch Dirty Computer. And I'm like, you can watch it? She's like, oh, yes, like an emotion picture. And that automatically sparked my interest. I'm like, well, let's see how creative it can be. Because whenever somebody tries to make a movie from their album, I'm automatically like comparing it to Michael Jackson. I'm like, well, let's see how it stands up next to Michael Jackson. And so I'm like automatically intrigued. She also got me into like making different types of baking things. Cause before I met her, I was only making cookies. And she showed me like scones and muffins and like, I can make these things. So she is a very big part of my life, and especially this. And so we watched Dirty Computer, and I am in tears by the end of it. I loved it. The way that, I mean, the music was just amazing. Janelle just performed amazingly. She was just expressing the freedom that I wanted to feel, not only in my marriage, but like within myself, because I live in Fayetteville, Arkansas. The Black population is super low. And so it's just always been difficult to really fully be myself. And so when she's speaking, I'm just like, oh, this is what I want. Like the freedom that is mentioned, the love that is mentioned. Like, I just want to be loved. I just want to be free. And so, I mean, I'm thinking about it all the time. I start listening to it all the time. And I end up getting a divorce, or getting separated from my husband. We end up getting divorced. But during that separation, I'm like, I think I feel what Janelle Monáe felt when like they were making this album, that freedom. I'm like, I feel it. Like I feel the shift. I heard a woman, she said that she doesn't call her divorce a divorce. She calls it a transformation. And I get that because I felt the shift. And I was driving in my car and I was listening to Dirty Computer, and a cocktail just popped into my head. I was like, I was listening to Screwed, and I was like, I wonder like what a remix Screwdriver could be. And I started thinking about it, and I was like, I wonder how many other songs could be made into a drink, because if it's Dirty Computer, it could be like a Dirty Martini. Django Jane could be like a Negroni. And I just start like connecting the dots. And so I sit down and I write it all down. I still have that notebook, but it's in a box in my garage. I write it all down. All the ideas that I'm like, I think I can make a drink out of all of these. But I'm like, I want it to relate. And music has always been a very big part of my life. I love music. Outside of coffee and my kids, music is a very big comfort for me. Like it is for many people. Yeah. We all have that. We all have like a thing with music.
Music connects so many souls together, you know.
It does. It's so nice. And so I have like a very large music collection. And I always have kind of like put my time with coffee and the music that I listen to together. And so it felt natural to do the same thing with cocktails. And when I watched Dirty Computer, what I was seeing the most was Janelle was in a space where they were feeling like they couldn't, they had to kind of be boxed in. You have to be this thing in order to do the things you want to do in the way that you do them. And Janelle's like, no, I don't want to do that. You're trying to tell me that I'm wrong for being myself. You're trying to tell me I'm dirty, you know, all of that. But I have really felt that. I have felt I've been challenged. My knowledge has been challenged. My character has been challenged for no reason, except for the fact that I'm a young Black woman. I mean, I was. I'm up there in age now.
Absolutely.
But I'm a young Black woman, and the challenges have come from all sides. It's come from my coworkers. It's come from my bosses. And like, are you a good barista? Are you responsible? Or can you make drinks? Are you da da da? It came from my ex and his family, and like getting pregnant young. It's like everything. I'm like, I've always felt like I've just been trying to make it work ever since I got pregnant, trying to make it work, trying to make it fit so that I can get the grace back, so that I can go forward in my life. And I'm like, I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to be the barista that anyone wants me to be, the wife that anyone wants me to be. I don't have to do these things anymore. And I'm like, I'm proclaiming, like, I am a dirty barista, and I'm going to take all of these classic cocktails and I'm going to change them into things I think taste better than them. Because I don't like screwdrivers. I don't like Negronis. I don't like dirty martinis. But I'm like, I don't have to prove that I can make them well, or that I'm a skilled bartender or mixologist.
Or put your own spin on them. So you said something, Arantha. You said, I don't have to, I worried about people giving me grace to do this and to do that. And then you found a new freedom that you don't have to worry about people giving you grace. I am a grace advocate. I wrote an ebook about giving yourself grace daily, because I think it's so much more important for you to give yourself grace.
Yes.
Not for, you know, the world to give yourself grace. It's nice if they do, and it's a bonus, and I love it. Thank you. I appreciate it. But first, I have to give myself grace. I have to be easy on myself in order for me to be truly free in what I'm trying to accomplish or what I'm trying to do or how I see myself. So I think that you had to come to the mindset of whether they give me grace or not, I'm going to start with me. I'm going to give myself grace because I know who I am, whom I am. And I know that I'm a great person and I know what I'm doing is a part of who I am, you know? So I love that you said you were wanting them to give you grace, but then you had to step back and say, wait a minute. No, grace is for me to give to me. I own that.
Yes.
You know?
You're right. And I've met someone after my divorce or during my separation throughout all of that. And I told him about this idea. I'm like, I have this idea to make this book with these drinks. I don't know if it's going to work. He's like, okay, well, just make it. I'm like, well, no. I've given a million reasons why. Just do it. And so I just do it. I'm like, also, I've never published the book. He's like, well, figure it out. I'm like, I never thought about just figuring out. So I figured out how to self-publish. I put a lot of money into it. And I'm like, okay, here it is. And I'm like, I really care about it. So whether it sells 10 copies or a million copies, like I wanted to sell a lot because I think everybody needs to read it because I think it's good. But I am very, 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 very proud of it. Like super proud of it. Because I'm like, this is my first step into freedom.
Yeah, you should be. And you can tell by the lines that you've written, the quotes that you put in here from Janelle, you can tell that you did that in a free state, like in your, you know, a state of contentment is how you did this book. I'm proud of you for taking that step to say, hey, you know, I don't know how to do it. I'm going to do it afraid and I'll just figure it out because it's a step that we all have to take. You know, I have a really good friend of mine who co-authored my children's book with me. And that was one thing she taught me. Come on, let's just do it. Do it afraid. You can do this. You can do this. You know, whether you do it right the first time or not, just do it. And you can learn to make it better. But at least you got to do it first. You know,
yes. So that's very true.
Totally agree. OK, so let's jump into this book. All right. So I told you that my favorite drink of all time is an espresso martini.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
My top three drinks are espresso martini, a cosmopolitan,
mm-hmm.
and a dirty martini. And I actually like my dirty martini extra dirty. And
when I saw that in your email, I was like, extra dirty?
Yeah, and when people say, like, what do you mean extra? They're like, I like extra olives, extra olive juice. I like it. Just come on. If you're going to give it to me, give it to me. I don't drink a lot, but when I do, I don't want to waste that time. Don't give me no mess. You know what I mean? So, so track one of your book is for Dirty Computer. You talk about the dirty martini. And I want to know how, through your lens, what were your vision and how did that song influence you, Janelle's song influence you with this drink? And you kind of talked about already about the screwdriver, and I'm going to go back to that, but let's talk about that dirty martini. Give me a little bit of background on how you came up with that one.
Well, I was like, it makes sense to do a dirty martini with Dirty Computer. And I used that drink. So I had screwed all together, but really it was the dirty martini that kind of helped me birth all the rest of the drinks. And I used it like as my guide mm-hmm. for the rest of the book. And so I made a dirty martini and I tasted it. And I'm like, okay, this is okay. I'm going to make it different. Yeah. I'm going to use all the same ingredients. But I'm going to make it different.
Yeah.
And it's going to still be good. I'm like, I haven't really tested it a lot of places, but I like the taste of the olive juice. So I'm like, I want to be respectful of what it is, but still be able to express myself within it. And I thought about that throughout the whole book. Like I said, I used it kind of as a guide because I'm like, at the end of the day, this is the industry I'm in and I want to be respectful of what it is. And so I'm like, I want to keep the olive juice, you know, but I want it to be a little sweeter. So I made the olive juice into a syrup and I'm like, that's weird, but I like it because it's salty. It's briny. It's sweet. It's licorice. And yeah. But also liking olives more and more. I'm like, yeah, olives are just good. The older I get, I'm like, I could go for an olive.
Yeah, I could eat a jar of olives. Yeah.
Especially the ones with the garlic in the middle. I'm like, yes.
Fine. I like the blue cheese in the middle.
Oh, so you like a little funk with yours.
Yeah. So in this, you say, I chose the dirty martini to represent this song for obvious reasons. The drink is normal, yes, but I wanted it to be sweet to symbolize that the idea of something being dirty isn't always bad. And that's the sweetness of being alive. Girl, you better talk that talk. That was so dope.
I was really in my bag, okay?
I love it. I love it. Love it. So proud. Okay, so the screwdriver on track 5, you said screwed. It had black walnut bitters in it and apple whiskey and vodka. And you took that verse screwdriver and you just turned it on its head. And you've already broke that down a little bit for me, but I know what bitters are, but I don't think I have ever heard of black walnut bitters. What is that, the taste of that? What do you get?
It has like it gives this like nice nutty taste to it. But it adds like a depth to it. I'm trying to figure out the best way to explain it. It just kind of gives it another layer, another level. I picked the black walnut to just try. And when I tasted it, I'm like, this is surprisingly like deep. The flavors, it just kind of adds more levels than I would ever expect from walnut, because walnut is not that strong of a flavor.
Right.
And so it just adds this like nice, sweet nuttiness and nice dynamic taste to it. And I really liked the screwdriver or the drink screwed because it doesn't look like anything.
Right.
Mm. It's just orange. It is like a little orange ombre. But when you look at it, you can't tell that it's going to be as flavorful as it is.
Yeah, because when you look at it, your brain tells you, because it's orange, all you're going to taste is orange juice or an orange flavor, you know? So I agree with that. And I'm not big on just orange. So I'm glad you did that. That's a very interesting drink to me. Like, a lot of people love mimosas because they love orange juice and champagne. Mm-hmm. That's another thing that just doesn't agree with my stomach. I would rather have a mimosa with cranberry juice and Prosecco, like something.
I'd rather just have Prosecco.
Yeah. Splash of cranberry juice, some Prosecco, and just a splash of rum, and I'm straight.
Ooh, that's that sounds good.
look, you're going to try that. I promise you, if you ever come this way, you let me know so I can bring you in to get me that espresso martini, because you got me all interested now.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So now, do you think that the hip hop culture and the coffee culture, how do you think that will continue to intersect? And will you continue to explore coffees and cocktails together? That really intrigues me.
Mm-hmm. So I think, as long as Black people continue in coffee, hip hop will just naturally be there. Coffee Black really has brought it in with him just even rapping about it in a good, like,
yeah,
in a skilled way. He's like a skilled, actually good rapper, and he's rapping about coffee. I'm like, that's cool, because coffee feels so, one, not exciting, like, to really think about. It's like, it's just coffee, but as most things are, there's this whole big world around it. But also, it just feels not very Black. Like, for the longest time, I was the only Black barista I knew. And my friend who I, when I, we worked our, the, before the first coffee shop job I worked, me and my friend worked at another job together. And I told her when I left, I said, I'm coming back for you. And I came back for her and got her hired at the coffee shop too. And she and I were the only Black baristas I knew for years. Yeah. I didn't meet another Black barista in person for real. I don't even know. The Black barista I admired, I met in 2019.
Were there a lot represented at the competitions, at the barista competitions?
Not at first. So the very first comp, well, really the first year that I competed was the most Black people that's ever competed ever. But the year before that, in the final parts of the competition, I said, I want to connect with every Black person that's competing. There were five competitions. Across all five competitions, there was one. And he and I actually became pretty good friends. And he's honestly amazing and has brought a lot of hip hop into his coffee routines when he competes. He's a great competitor as well. And he brought a lot of hip hop into it as well. But most of us kind of just kind of do it naturally. I mean, coffee music is a very big part of coffee culture because it plays in coffee shops. And so music really sets the tone a lot for the places. And there's more people trying to let hip hop be what sets the tone in their coffee shop. There's a place called Everybody's Busy in Chicago where it's very hip hop heavy. This is just becoming more and more involved. There's a rapper, poet, Propaganda who's gotten really into it. And he has like gotten other rappers into it. And so I think it's in there and it's there to stay. Thank goodness. I didn't think it ever would be, because at the coffee shop I worked at, it was all white. The patrons, me, like everybody, everything's white. It feels everything's white. So you can't play rap in there.
It's also your demographics too, of where you live too. It's also your demographic, because where I live, you know, there is a pretty big Black coffee movement here and beautiful Black coffee shops. I mean, I literally live 10 minutes away from a Black coffee shop, and they host spoken word. They host Black authors there. You know, they really push our Black community, our entrepreneur community, and they allow them to host a lot of their small business events right there at this coffee shop. So I also do think that's a demographic too, but I agree with you. There wasn't a lot, like 3, 4, 5 years ago when we really started this journey of researching, like for this podcast, one thing I was looking for is a lot of the Black coffee shops and Black baristas. And that's how I kind of stumbled onto your page before, like I had your book and your social media and never knew that those two, that you were one and the same. So like, we try to support as many of our Black coffee roasters as possible. Like, we love Black Nerd Coffee, Black and Bold. There's a Guatemalan that we love. There's an Ethiopian coffee that we support. We try to support as many as we can, because there is definitely a Black, Black-owned coffee movement. And you can't really take the culture, our culture, and the hip hop, they both intersect and they both intertwine. I think you've tapped into something that is just like just the tip of the iceberg, that is just really, really bubbling. And I think you should continue it. So that moves me to say, to ask you, who do you think your next music artist will be as you're kind of, maybe muddling around about your next book of coffee or cocktails? Who do you think that next hip hop artist will be that'll influence you?
I think about that all the time. I'm doing a small Bow Wow series right now. But I'm not writing a book about that, because Bow Wow's wild.
Wild coffee cocktails right there.
But I love Michael Jackson. I think I would get overwhelmed trying to narrow down a way to like capture how I feel about him in a drink, or even a set. I'm like, it'd have to be like a series of books. I'd never stop. I would never stop. But I think it might be Smino, who is a rapper from St. Louis. He has like a songy, rappy type of vibe. But I really am inspired by his creativity and how he raps. It really does. I'm like, it makes me have to think when I hear the song. I could hear the song like a million times, hear it a million and one, and I heard something I didn't hear before. And I really like that.
Yeah.
So it might be Smita.
Well, you know what? I love that you're thinking it through already, because I do believe that you should do a second book, right? And many more, but I definitely think you should do another book. Me and my husband went to see Janelle Monáe in concert. One of our top, well, if we had to put top five, she would definitely be number two or three on the list. The concert actually was a Lauryn Hill concert, and she and another artist was opening. Lauryn Hill happened to be late, as she is most concerts lately, but she was like an hour and a half late. And Janelle Monáe had already did her set, which was absolutely phenomenal. Like, I can't say enough about it. And she had left the stage and her set was done. And I guess they told her that Lauryn Hill was late and would she come out and do another set? And she came out and did another set. And it was more powerful than the first set she did. It was just like, I have the utmost respect for her. I was thoroughly entertained. That concert should have been her concert and hers alone, because no her. So that was another thing too that intrigued me about your book, because we had just recently seen her right before COVID in concert. And although we loved her and loved her music, I had never seen her live. And after seeing her live, it was just a whole another level of love and appreciation. So I hope one day that she picks this book up I hope she sees that you were inspired by what she brings to our culture and the freedom that she brings to our culture. So I hope and pray, fingers crossed, that one day this book crosses her path.
I hope so too. I'm like, I don't even need her to like take any action outside of just reading it. I'm like, just read it. Well, the next action would be like, hang out with me. Like, let me make you a couple of drinks, you know, you can eat or something. But like outside of that, nothing else. Just trying to be your best friend. We just have to hang out once a year for the rest of our lives. It's fine. But I'm still not even over this book. It's been hard to even start another book because I'm just not over Dirty Barista. I love it. Like, I go back.
You're in the zone.
Oh, I was just in it. And I also made videos for each song. So like, I recorded in like different outfits that matched the theme, all these videos. I put so much time in it. And I'm just like, I just love it so much. But I am still working on two other books. I haven't decided on a music book yet, but I'm writing a cocktail Bible of sorts.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to like compile all of my cocktails, like Ren's cocktail Bible. My nickname is Ren. And trying to also do like a nonfiction book that's centered around drinks.
Yeah.
Trying to like expand what cocktails can like be. But we'll see.
Keep me posted for sure. So, okay. So I know that you did a lot of barista competitions. So in those competitions, did you meet anyone that you are still, you know, in contact with today that you're still talking to? Do you think that you'll start back, you know, any of those competitions now that we're kind of post-COVID? COVID isn't going away, that's for sure. My whole household just had COVID again, like 2 months ago. So I know it's not gone away, but do you think that you'll get back into competitions?
I want to. As soon as I feel like I can, I will. I think it'd be very good for my brand to do it. And also, it's just so fun and it pushes me so much to a level of creativity that I just never expect I can get to. I love it. It just wrecks me and I love it. So I do want to do it again. I will do it again. I'm gonna put it out there and the world's gonna be on my top, but I will do it again.
You know, there was a drink competition show, and right now that the name of that competition show, it escapes me. I can't
Drink Masters?
Drink Masters, that's it. Yeah. Oh my God. I don't know if they still do this, because I think that was before COVID as well, wasn't it? When they were doing, they were taping.
It came out after. I don't know when they taped it, but it came out after. I had already written Dirty Barista, and people were texting me like, you should be on the show. I'm like, I would love to be on the show. I don't know how to get on TV.
I don't know if they do it anymore. I hope they do.
I don't know.
I think that's something you should aspire to if they do it. On that show, I think there were a couple of people that were right here from the DMV area that did.
Really? Yes, one of them I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very well.
In competition, though, to answer your other question, I have met a lot of people that I'm definitely still in contact with. A lot.
That's good.
I have people become close friends, and not just other competitors, but the judges, the patrons, like other businesses, companies. I've just have created some really great bonds. I'm very thankful. And it helps that the coffee community, like the Black coffee community, is so small. That's not the only connections I've made, but it definitely helped me feel welcomed into something that I probably would not have felt welcomed into otherwise. Though I would have still gone. I would have still done it, and I would have still thrived because I can, but I just felt welcomed in the process.
Absolutely.
And but it's just been through the program that I did, Glitter Cat, I met a lot of different people. Met people that I just had not come in contact with, like being in Bible Belt, Arkansas. And I'm like, now I bet I know somebody in all 50 states. I'm like, I bet. Maybe not Delaware, because I just, but maybe, actually, I do. I could stay in all 50 states, I think. A lot of that has to do with my connection with coffee. And that's what I learned about coffee from the beginning, and what sticks with me throughout the years, is that coffee is extremely universal. Yeah. And it brings people together in ways that a lot of other things can't. I have been to different countries. I've been to different states. I've been around different people. And everywhere I go, somebody's like, can I get you a cup of coffee? No matter what. It just brings people together.
It is a universal language. I know when I have a older grandson who is a soccer player, and he had an opportunity to play soccer in Costa Rica. And that was the one thing that him and his team did was they worked the coffee farm there in Costa Rica. And they were able to bring some of the Costa Rican coffee back, and it was so good, you know? And so I think it sparked a kind of a love, or just at least an appreciation to him for coffee. Just like you say, you never know when you get those exposures to trips. So I love that. Now, Sorinthia, what advice would you give someone who is trying to make this same journey? You know, coffee, barista, competition. What advice would you give to that person?
Do not be afraid to work hard. You will have to work hard. You will have to work early. You will have to work late. You will have to work with people you don't like. You'll have to work with people that you love, and then never work with those people ever again. You have to learn how to trust yourself and be open. That's what I would say. It feels very like cliche and very like, ooh, you got to go through the journey, but you just do.
Yeah, I agree.
You just do.
Totally agree. There's
always something new to learn. Always something new to learn. I was reading this one book and it said, the day you stop learning is the day you stop living. Just don't feel like you've done it all, because you have not.
Yeah. Haven't even touched there. So speaking of working hard and you know, having kids and doing so much, how do you give back to yourself? What do your self-care looks like?
Listen, this is a new like earth thing to me. I just started working on my self-care a few years ago. But now it looks like allowing myself to rest on. Like, it's okay if you're sleepy. It's okay to lay down. You don't have to work till you pass away.
Yeah.
even though I just said you're going to have to work hard, you do have to work hard, but you have to rest too.
Yeah.
But really, a lot of my time giving back to myself is cooking, baking. I don't have to do it for, I mean, my kids were like, can you make us? And they're next to me the whole time. But I get to spend time with them. We talk during that time. And when they'll talk to me for a few minutes and then they'll go sit down and I just put my headphones in. I listen to a podcast. I cook. I may make a cocktail. I may make a coffee to go with it. It's just
peaceful. Yeah.
I'm nourishing myself. And also just spending time with my man. He just is really life-giving. Like I said, I was married.
That's right. Life-giving.
I've been in a life-taking away relationship, but
we enter, especially our African American females, because we sometimes are so neglected. You know, we are forever in a life-taking.
Oh gosh. Relationship
or situationship, and we are the one giving, and not receiving. Or not balanced out. So to be in a life-giving relationship, come on now.
It is such a blessing. I feel like he's trying to compete with me about like who can give more to the other. And he's basically like, I'm going to always win that. And I'm like, that's fine with me. Fine with me. So he just gives me life. He's so helpful. He encourages me. He supports me. I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you if it wasn't for him. Truly, because he has just pushed me to put myself out there even more than I already was. I was kind of already out there because I'm just out there. Putting myself out there in a way that's more vulnerable, which is like, please put your money that you worked hard for into me from people daily. That's tough. But he's just been really encouraging that in times where he's like encouraged me to quit my job. I only work for myself for the most part. I do like small work for one other company that I work for. They are based in Brooklyn. And I'm like, I will not ever stop working in coffee. It's a coffee company. I'm like, I just can't stop. I have to be doing something coffee. But he's just really encouraging me in that. And if I need it, he'll get it. If he doesn't have it, he'll find it. And also just spending time with my family, mostly my sister and my sister cousins, as I call them, the ones I grew up with that we live in the same house. So spending time with my sisters too, because they're just so funny. And there's just so many things we don't have to say. And we can just laugh and get through all
pick right back up where you left off. Yeah.
Every time I'm like, it's definitely gossipy. It's definitely messy. But it's a good time. We're definitely loud and running around, but it's a good time.
So I left this question for last. I started asking my guest this question about 3 or 4 guests ago. But if you could go back and give your 18-year-old self one piece of advice, what would it be?
Ooh, that's tough. I was going through it when I was 18.
I know. I felt it when we first got on and you were saying that you were pregnant in the 12th grade. And so I completely understand, completely, first of all. I had my first pretty early too. I was in the military at the time, but I was still a teenager. I hadn't even hit 20 years old yet, you know, so I completely understand. But if you could step back and talk to that 18-year-old young lady, especially being who you are today, what would you say to her?
Don't try to skip any of the parts.
Oh my God.
Because there's just so many times I'd be sitting and I was like, I just want to skip this part of my life. I don't want to be in this part.
Woo! Girl, man, if we could hit the fast forward button, can I just quickly? If I could get through this pain quickly and see myself on the other side, because sometimes when you're in pain, you don't see the other side. You don't see that way out, you know?
Don't skip any of them because you need them. When you are out of it, you can look back and see how it was beneficial to who you've become now. And I think about that often because I'm like, would I go back and make a different choice and not have my son at 18? Yeah. And I'm like, I love him to death, but I had a life plan, you know? And I'm like, no, because I feel like no matter what, my life is going to end up where it was anyway. So I'm like, I'm thankful for what it was and what it has been. I feel like Tyler Perry has finally put his pen down on my life and is not writing my story no more because I was like, what's going on? But I just wouldn't skip any of the parts. Quit trying to fast through them.
That sounds like the title of a book. Don't skip the parts. I love that. I love it. So at this point of my podcast chat with my guests, I always go back to a previous episode, and I'll ask the guest the question. With you, I wanted to go back to episode 100, where we celebrated our 100th episode journey. I don't have a question to ask you. I just wanted to say thank you. You were our recipient of our gift card. You were so funny because when we pulled your name, we didn't pull it with the random wheel, you know, stopped on your name. And the first thing you said was, "Are you sure? I never win anything."
I don't.
But you are winning. You're winning at life, you know, and you didn't skip parts and you're still winning. So we just want to say thank you. Thank you for riding with us. And, you know, we appreciate you. We appreciate your support because, like I said, I know that you're building your own brand. So to take 30 seconds out of your day to support us or to like something of ours or to even listen to 5 minutes of our podcast, we just want to say thank you so much. We really appreciate you as well as other listeners. So thank you.
Of course. And thank you. I know the value of the support. You need it. We all need it.
Girl, don't we?
Oh, we're in this thing together. We're running our own businesses. We're getting our operations together, being parents, being everything for a lot of people and ourselves.
Everybody doing all the things.
All the things.
All right, Ms. Cynthia, what is your favorite coffee moment and what makes a perfect coffee cocktail?
Ooh, man. I just have so many coffee moments.
I know. Why ask the coffee person what's their favorite coffee moment?
Oh, my God.
Just give me one and then tell me what makes a perfect coffee cocktail.
Okay. It's not a whole coffee moment, but it really is when my water broke while I was working at the coffee shop.
I know that's right. That's a whole life experience.
I'm like, my whole life is changing right in front of your eyes. My coworker's a male. He's young. He's like, I don't know what to do. I said, me neither. I'm like, I just don't know. I love that one the most. But another one that I really like is when I was in Guatemala. I've been to Guatemala 4 times. I love it there. I was like, I will live here. And everybody here was like, or everybody there was like, do not live here. But we were there having a great time, you know, chilling. And someone was like, hey, an American just walked in the door. We're like, hey, don't care. Like, well, do you know him? I'm like, how? No, I don't know him. How would I know him? Walked out and I was like, that is my children's pediatrician. I'm like, I'm like, that's funny. That's really funny. Like, I was really all like, America's, we don't know.
That's just like black people start working somewhere and it's only a couple years. You know, so and so worker here, do you know, just because they're black? No, I don't know all black people in the world. And then as soon as you walk in, I'm like, oh, yeah, but I know that.
But I know him, though. My bad.
I'm sorry. I do know him. Yeah, I know him.
I do. But yeah, I've had like crazy customers, fun moments. I love coffee. I love it all the time. I try to get everybody hooked on it. And I'm like, I get you hooked, but I also will supply you if I get you hooked. So, you know, I feel like it's a good balance.
All right. So what makes a perfect coffee cocktail?
What makes a perfect coffee cocktail is one, the perfect coffee. You have to find the right coffee for what you're trying to do. Sometimes it's going to be a dark roast. Sometimes it's going to be a light roast. For me, I like a lighter tasting coffee cocktail. Espresso martini, you can get away with a darker roast.
Yeah.
I like a lighter roast. So like the one in my book, I did a coffee limeade with brown sugar, lime, and coffee and rum. Mm-hmm. So you want something that has like, if you're going to use something fruity with the coffee, then get a fruity coffee. Right. So a light roast from Eastern Africa or like Costa Rica or something.
Yeah, because it has like a berry undertone. The Costa Rican coffee has like this little, like a little berry undertone, but it's full bodied. It's not, it doesn't have this real thick taste to it. So yeah, I get it. Completely.
Yes. Yes. And it's like, because Costa Rica has high elevation. So those coffee beans can stay inside of those coffee cherries a little bit longer. And, but if you're doing something a little bit heavier, then go ahead and go with a dark coffee. Otherwise, you're going to lose the coffee taste. Hmm. So it's martinis, Irish coffees, you want to go a little heavier. But also don't lose the coffee taste with the liquor. Learn how to balance it out.
Okay. So that's a little. Some people have done, I went to some places and ordered espresso martini and I get it back and it's all espresso and it's bitter. It's like, Like, where's the liquor? Then I went to some places and got an espresso martini. It's just liquor. Like, they don't
where's the coffee?
Like, where's the coffee? Recently, I went to this restaurant called Eddie V's, and I ordered an espresso martini, and it was perfect. I mean, perfect. And then you, like, I'm like, wait a minute. Maybe they just got it right the first time. So I ended up getting a second one, and it was perfect again. So there's definitely an art to cocktails. People think that, you know, the more liquor, you just want to get drunk. But no, there's an art to cocktails. It really, especially for a person like me who don't drink all the time. So when I order a cocktail, I want it to be right, you know. So, yeah, I love it. Oh, thank you so much, my dear.
I can't wait to make an espresso martini. I hope it lives up to that perfect one you had. Because I've had some that I'm like, this is all liquor. This is all perfect.
Look, maybe we need to Zoom. Maybe you need to tell me what to buy. And then we Zoom. And then you walk me through how to make it. I think we should do that. Let's do that.
Oh, that's going to be fun. Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah.
So you DM me. You tell me everything that I have to buy. And this will be great because around the holidays is when I do actually take a few drinks. You know what I'm saying? So this will be DM me. Tell me what I need to get. We're going to set up another Zoom and I'm going to make my drink.
Let's do it. That's going to be so fun. It's going to be so fun. Yes. I need to get a new martini glass. I broke mine on accident. But another one. We're going to do this.
Yes. Yes. I'll be ready for that. I'll be ready. I'm going to hold you to that. Thank you. So much. Thank you so much for you know, gracing your presence with us. Are you working on any current projects right now? Let us know, and also shout out your community, please.
I'm working on two books, like I said, so just always keep an eye out for me doing that. I am running my business, Rendition Coffee and Cocktails, where I'm catering events and bartending them. You can go to my website to book or ask any questions.
Your website again.
Hopefully I'll be able to start sending out drinks to you all at some point. Like, you can go buy it at your local store type vibe. Definitely want to shout out my man, Matthew. He is a strong black man. The name does not sometimes seem that, but very kind man. Shout out to my children. They are extremely supportive of me in my coffee journey. They are so supportive.
So good. So what's your website? What's your website?
Is renditioncnc.com. It's also in my bio on my Instagram, A Black Coffee Tale. Great. You can also follow my Rendition Instagram, RenditionCNC.
Coffee
and cocktails, T-A-L-E-S. And I think that's it. Yeah. Shout out to everyone that supports me. I appreciate it. It's been a lot of organic growth, and I'm thankful that it's happening.
Yes. Absolutely. Well, thank you. Any parting words, any words of advice, last parting words before we wrap up?
You can do it. If you want to write a book, open up a business, you can do it, because I didn't think I could do it.
Don't skip.
Everything is out there for free right now on YouTube, so use it.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. And don't skip the parts. You know, that's
don't my skip favorite. The parts.
Don't skip the parts.
Grow from the struggle within the struggle.
Because it is a struggle. Thank you, Miss Cerinthia. Thank you so much. So, guys, this is Cerinthia McLennan. She is the author of Dirty Barista. This is a cocktail recipe bringing you music and cocktails together by creating drinks inspired by the Janelle Monáe's album, Dirty Computer. This is a small but powerful and really freeing book, because it just don't give you cocktail recipes, but it gives you the story about how she put a twist on traditional cocktails. So I love it. Don't forget to check her out, Rendition CNC, which is Renditions Coffee and Cocktails. She is a caterer. She's an author. She's an entrepreneur. She's a mother. She's a daughter, and she is doing the damn thing. So you guys, please check her out. Thank you guys so much for hanging with the Truth and Coffee Time podcast with Ms. D and Mr. B, as he's always doing, Mr. B-ish. We love y'all for real. Y'all know how to get in contact with us. Thank you for allowing myself and Miss Cerinthia, the Dirty Barista, to come into your home as we share our truth over coffee.
Thank you, friends, for hanging with us. We got you. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. And also, please follow us on IG, Facebook, and Twitter. Our social platform is at Diverse Love. That's DiverseLuv.
And don't forget, you can listen to our podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you get your podcast fix.
Thank you, friends. We love y'all for real.
Okay, me, take us out.
It's Truth and Coffee Time.
Help me not think about all my lows. Think of who you are sometimes. Girl, you always on my mind. Looking like it's Truth and Coffee Time. Tell me what you really want.